Well, my name is Chris Towne, and I'm glad to welcome to the studio and the airwaves Glenn Garrod. Glenn, how are you today?
I'm good, Chris.
I'm glad you showed up. I've known you for a while, and I've always been just kind of enamored by the fact that this is your profession. You know, I had a job where I had to go somewhere every day and do a task. You know, and it seems to me from having to look at your book, you've kind of been all around the world doing this amazing profession of being a professional poker player.
Yeah, I have.
So when did you start this endeavor? That's kind of a unique thing. When did you know this is what I want to do for my life?
Well, I've sort of been playing since I was like 10 years old in the family, and played a lot in high school, ran a poker game in college, moved to Lake Tahoe on graduation, and eventually had my own poker room in Tahoe City.
Wow.
Yeah, that was in 1975, and that's pretty much when I say I became a professional poker player, because that's when I derived 100% of my income from the proceeds of poker.
Right. Yeah, and so it's been very interesting that you did this in statistics. You know, did you have to get deep into numbers and odds of things? And
well, you know, there's definitely a aspect to the game which is all probability and relating the size of the pot to the chances of your hand becoming a completed hand. Whether to call, to raise, to fold, all based on probability and mm-hmm. your ability to read your opponents and what they have.
Right. I imagine that there was something that you probably went to sleep on sometimes, thinking about this number and that number and should have done, and next time I'm going to, you know, do this. And
Well, mainly the things that I went to sleep on was I had a cavalcade of poker hands running through my brain after playing in a session, and you know, remembering the cards and how they came out and what you should have
right.
done and what you did do,
right.
and you know, you get tortured by it sometimes.
So you got your start in the early 70s. What the heck kept you going through the years? Is this something that, hey, I'm good at this, I can make money at this, or was it the glamour? Was it the stardom?
Well, first of all, I love playing the game. Mm-hmm. You know, I love playing the game. I love the freedom of being a professional player. You know, you go to work when you feel like going to work or when the games are, and take time off when you need it.
Right.
Traveled a lot and so on. But also, you know, I made good money. I mean, it's making, you know, really good money at different times in my life playing poker.
And it took you to a lot of interesting places, I imagine.
Yeah. I was married to an English lady for 10 years, so I played a lot in England. We would go to England every year, and I would play for about a month over there. I've played a lot in Hawaii, Canada, pretty much all over Western United States. Played a lot in Las Vegas, played a lot at the World Series of Poker. I went there every year for 10 years as a guest of the Binion family, who owned the Binion's Horseshoe. And that was a big part of my life. But, yeah, I've traveled a lot, and I've traveled a lot also for non-poker. That's something I love to do.
Right, right. So the World Series of Poker, what's that like to be in the World Series of Poker?
One of the most incredible things I've ever been part of. I totally look forward to it every year, a big part of my life. We were, as players, we were given complimentary rooms at, always stayed at the Golden Nugget, nicest place in downtown Las Vegas. The bill was totally picked up by the Binion family. They would have a buffet breakfast and a buffet dinner, incredible food, compliments of the house for poker players. We were really treated like celebrities. You know, we'd sign for our drinks wherever we went and so on. It was, they were really gracious in being wonderful hosts. And it's good to play with the best players in the world. It was sort of my gauge as to where I stood amongst, my compatriots. It was incredibly exciting, and I was there for a month solid every year.
Wow. Like Christmas for a whole month.
Yeah. Yeah, I really look forward to
it. The Golden Nugget, that's downtown Las Vegas, that's the Four Corners, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, so it's Binion's, you know.
Right. On a personal note, I remember in 75, I was a... For my birthday, I went to Winterland, saw the Grateful Dead.
Right.
You know, and then I hitchhiked to Las Vegas. My brother was in the Air Force at Nellis, you know, and he took me to downtown Las Vegas, the Four Corners there, which you can't see anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. It's just, it's still there, but it's not like it used to be. It's,
you know, well, a lot of things in Las Vegas and a lot of things in the world of poker aren't like they used to be.
Right. Know? But boy, you walk in those casinos and you get all these different smells that they would come at you, and the sounds and everything was just pretty, it was pretty amazing.
That's something I write about, you know, walking into Binion's when you first get back there and just, you know, the sounds of coins dropping in the trays and the whooping and the hollering at the bar and the smell of cigarette smoke, stale and awful, and all the drinks marinated in the carpet. Pretty powerful smells, but we go right to the bar and, you know, you see all these poker players coming in from all over the country. And every poker player to me represented a different story or a different hand or someone I had played with at some point.
Like a reunion.
Oh, yeah, definitely like a reunion. Yeah.
And so this was in Las Vegas. So what was the most, maybe this was the most, what was the most exotic place you ever played that was just almost unearth-like?
I played in a pretty amazing place in Costa Rica. It was a casino that opened up at like 7 in the evening and went till whenever. But it was attached to the place we were staying, which was modeled after the White House, with big pillars and columns and stuff. And
correct.
Yeah. That was pretty fun.
Wow, sounds like Len Garrett, poker player extraordinaire, traveled the world, following aces and kings and queens. And what was the biggest pot you ever won, Glenn?
In about 1987, we started a game in Harvey's. No, let me take that back. We started the game at the Sahara Tahoe. It became known as the big game of Reno and Lake Tahoe, because it traveled between Reno and Lake Tahoe for years. Anyway, there was a lot of money involved in that game, and one night I won a pot that had $65,000 in it. That was a thrill. There are a lot of pots in that game that dwarf that one, but for me, that was the biggest one I ever won.
65K, yeah, pretty cool. You wrote a book about all your endeavors.
I did. The book is called Missouri and Me, A Poker Odyssey. It's a book of short stories about the life of professional poker players, about my life, and about my partner, Missouri Dave. That's the title, Missouri and Me. Yeah, it's a book for everyone. It's not a book just for poker players. It is certainly not a how-to poker book. In the book, there are a number of poker hands that are accompanied by graphic depictions of those hands. However, for folks not versed in poker, the book is a book of stories about the characters that live in this American subculture. Stories about road trips, travels around the country. It offers an animated glimpse into the World Series of Poker. In short, the book is for poker players and non-poker players alike.
Well, I know I got my hands on it a little while ago, and I've been having so much fun, because no matter where you pick it up and have a look, and have a read, it's a little story here, a little story there. I know it's chronological, but you can stories about poker and life and traveling and what you did for, and it's just a pretty amazing endeavor. So how can people purchase this book?
Well, you can go to my website. That's missouriandme.com, all spelled out one word, missouriandme.com. And yeah, you can order the book right there online.
Can you read maybe an excerpt from the book here?
Sure.
Let's do that.
All right. So this is an excerpt from a chapter called An Evolution of Poker. I come from a time when the poker community was a small society, populated with some of the best people, people honor-bound, who would lend and borrow thousands of dollars solely on a person's word. Conversely, some of the worst people, who would cheat the unsuspecting out of their last dime. It was a community connected through yearly tournaments that were not yet overpopulated, a community connected by road gamblers who passed through America's card rooms, spreading the stories that became embedded in poker mythology. I am from the old school. I recall as a young man being starstruck for the first time I saw Amarillo Slim walk into a poker room at the Dunes in Las Vegas. I remember drawing the same tournament table as Johnny Moss, then a living legend, fondly known as the Grand Old Man of Poker. I sat across from poker royalty as we waited for the game to begin. Mr. Mosk asked to see my antique pocket watch, which I'd set on the table, and as he admired my watch, he shared the story of the pocket watch his father bequeathed him long before I was born. I remember being impressed with the first poker game I saw were $10,000 bundles of $100 bills were bound together like bricks sitting in front of players. Little did I know then that I would one day sit with bricks of my own. And little did I know then that the old school poker I would become a part of would one day change immensely.
Very nice, very thought-provoking. You know, how many times any of us in any endeavor, when we first had a glimpse of it, we never thought that we would ever, no matter what it is, you know, become so ingrained into it, you know, if only, and boy, I wish that was me one day, and wow, I'm pretty impressed by that. Next thing you know, you become that person, or that those things happen to you in your life, and life-changing experiences.
Yeah, quite honestly, it was my dream from the time I was a young man.
Right.
To play poker and play baseball.
Okay.
And
how'd the baseball turn out, Glenn?
I played till I was over 50.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Third base?
I played everywhere in the infield and some of the outfield.
Okay. You know, I know. I got to ask you this question. I know you and your wife have known you for a while. Did Kate ever, was she questioned the fact that you were a poker player? That's what you did?
Well, some people refer to it as being a gambler.
Okay.
And I guess the question is, was she ever bothered that I was a gambler?
A gambler, right.
Yeah. But I always answer that, my answer to that is, I'm a professional.
Yeah.
The people who play with me, against me, are the gamblers.
Ooh, good answer. Yeah. I'm going to keep that quote in my back pocket.
There you go.
I like that one. So, do you know, there's a lot of online betting and gambling these days. How do you feel about the online adventure with gambling and poker?
Well, you know, I'm an old Luddite, Chris. I believe poker should be played amongst people and not between avatars. I like to look at my opponent. I like to share stories with them. Sometimes I like to have a beer with them.
Right.
You know, I like to. It's a game amongst humans, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And not a game, not a video game.
I know.
So I've never played online, to be honest.
That's a great answer because I look at so many times today. Things are so many. They're automated, and the computer's taking over this, and we can automate that and automate this, and sometimes it makes our life a little better. But something like this, it's the human experience is where it's all about.
Well, it's interesting because at some point the government shut down online poker rooms, or some of the bigger ones, and immediately all these new poker players started showing up in the poker rooms, and they looked different, they played different, and some of them played awfully darn good, but it all integrated into the live poker games.
Glenn, thank you so much for dropping by here at our studios here at KBMR. It's been a great adventure talking with you.
Oh, my pleasure.
This has been the 95959. We keep things local here. You're a local guy who just happened to be a professional poker player, and you wrote this book. And let's remind the folks one more time, Glenn Garrett.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me. And I wanted to mention that my website was done by KBMR's own Polly Castro.
There we go. Keep it in the family.
Keep it in the family.
That's right.